Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message, and now on to this week's sermon.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for 2019. We thank you for the growth we've seen, for growing and teaching and doing, Lord, the things that you've told us to do in 2019. We thank you for that. And Lord Jesus, we look forward to an amazing 2020, Lord, a 2020 full of breakthrough and a 2020 full of joys, a 2020 full of growth and mercy and grace. Lord, give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, 2019 is almost done. Is there 3 days left? Does everybody have their plans set for New Year's Eve? Stay home and watch movies or something? That's what, yeah. Yeah, the old people like us. Do you remember what our theme was?
Just Mike, not me.
Do you remember what our theme was from this year? Anybody? I kind of gave you a hint a minute ago. Nobody. Grow, do, teach. Right. We're going to grow and we're going to do like the prophet Ezra said in his book in the Old Testament. We want God's word to be in us so that we grow, but we also want to do what he tells us to do. We just don't want to learn it all, right? We want to be doers of the word, and then we want to make disciples and teach and bring others along too. And so that's what our theme was. Do you remember how many of the old timers remember the theme from the year before, 2018? Anybody? Anybody? Somebody said it. Growing in joy, yeah. Good job. Nate, he gets a sticker. So we have seen a lot of growth in you, in all of us over these past 2 years. Growing in your walk with the Lord and, you know, finding God's plans for you, dreaming big dreams, and then seeing God show up as you live them out and as you grow in your dreams. That's been really cool to watch, and we're really proud of you. Proud of Joy Church for the things that you've done, for seeing you grow, and for who you are, and for really finding that identity of who you are in Christ. We're really proud of you because you do grow, and you do, and you do teach. You're serving community. We hear a lot about things that you do in your community, at your workplace, or close to where you live, and you know things that pretty much go unseen behind the scenes that nobody really knows about. But you serve in your communities, and we're proud of you for that. Those things that you do that kind of go under the radar, but touch a lot of lives for a lot of people around you in a lot of different ways. So good job.
We've seen life groups grow incredibly this year. We've had new leaders step up. We've seen many people get connected. And the cool part is it's not just getting connected so you see each other on Sunday morning and you give each other a friendly hello, which you do. But outside of that, you're growing together. You're learning together. You're growing spiritually together. You work together. You pray together. You laugh together, which is really important. And then we've seen people, life groups, serving the community together, which is so very cool. And, you know, life group is about lifting one another up. And you guys do that so, so well. I believe, like Joy Church knows the meaning of doing life together, mm-hmm. And we all need that.
Yeah.
So as a church, though, we've continued to grow this year. We've grown in depth. We started the year with a sermon series called Keep the Change. Remember that one? Some people maybe remember it. I was
this
like,
would be appropriate
I think I
time
do.
To do this. Yes.
But we did talk about in order to keep the change, we had to make a change. And we were all challenged to look at things in our life that we need to change and to choose one. And so in your minds, you don't have to nod your head, but think about, do you remember that one thing that you were going to change? And then we talked about that all good things that we start, we also need to have some good stops. There are things that we need to stop doing. So also try to remember, what was it that you were going to stop doing, that you committed to stop doing in 2019? And when Mike and I were talking about this, we're like, that's really something we should all do every single year. What's one thing that we need to stop doing? And it doesn't have to be It can be something that's sinful or, you know, negative, but also can be something that's positive, but it's too much on your plate, and you need to stop doing that thing. Yeah. And it seems like we frequently talk about, what are our big dreams? It seems to be like a repeat theme. What are our big dreams? And then the big thing is trusting God with those big dreams and actually taking steps forward.
Yeah. And then at Easter time, we had a sermon series called The Road. Remember, we talked about the road to Jerusalem and the road to the cross and then the road to Emmaus that Jesus took and how he chose to take that road, right? He chose that. And why? For the joy that was set before him, because he could see beyond the pain and the suffering and the shame that he was going to suffer for the joy set before him. The scripture tells us that he did that. And we learned about Jesus' road led to the cross, so our road can lead to life. And that's a powerful statement there. And then we did a series right after that called Hope in the Dark from the book of Habakkuk, if you remember that. And that was a difficult one. We asked a lot of hard questions during that one, a lot of where are you, God, type of questions, or a lot of why, God, type of questions. And we wrestled and embraced God, and we wrestled with the fact that sometimes God is silent, but that doesn't mean that he's absent. Just because God is silent in our lives for a season or a time doesn't mean that he's absent. He's always constantly working for our best, giving us his grace and mercy. And then we finished up that series with the thought that we praise God before provision, praising him before he provides for us, knowing that he will, because he's faithful and he's always true to his word. He's always true to what he tells us he's going to do. So yeah, that was kind of a tough series. And I remember, I think that series went over Mother's Day, and it was kind of like, that's not a real Mother's Day type sermon, but it was good, I think. We learned a lot. We grew through that hard, difficult series of hearing some things that were hard. And I think we found more faith and found more hope in the darkness.
I really like that one. We also spent some time studying King David, and I think this was my favorite. Remembering that King David was number 8, the 8th, the youngest of Jesse's, but he was also God's chosen, number 8, but chosen. And it was something that we learned that it's important for all of us to realize that God chooses the number 8s of the world, and that the number 8s can defeat giants, right? We can learn so much from King David, lessons that are, you know, as old as time, but really are as fresh as today's news. We also walk through a lot of Jesus' parables. That was a really good series, too. Stories that he told us that helped bring the kingdom to earth. And he told them in a way to help all of us understand, to show us how to live today. The parable of the pearl of great price, about how our value is determined by the one who created us in his own image. We need to be reminded of that all the time.
Yeah.
We talked about forgiveness and how forgiven people are to forgive people.
That's something, a hard one.
Yeah, and something we need all the time in our life. And do you remember Don't Blink? And Kevin Gurrier sang us the Kenny Chesney song. It was awesome.
And Kenny Gurrier.
Yeah. And about how critical it is for us to keep first things first. What's priority? Do the most important things first. The tyranny of the urgent becomes the foundation of regret. And there's just great, great lessons in Jesus' parables.
Yeah.
We could read each of them, right? Over and over and over again, year after year, which we should do.
Yeah.
Not just we could do, we should do. And we glean new truths all the time because God's word is living and active.
Yeah. Then recently, Kathy gave a powerful message about risk-taking. Do you remember that one? And it was not like the risk of following our dreams so much. It was the risk of being real, the risk of being vulnerable with each other, and the risk of having that person in our life who knows us and shares struggles and prays for us and cares for us. And, you know, that's risky, and that's a little bit scary, too. You know, that first step, remember, she kind of challenged us, that first step. And we're so proud of so many of you who took that first step and are seeing the fruit of it now and are seeing victory through it
Amen.
All. And it's really
Amen.
Incredible to see.
So overall, 2019, it's been awesome, and we've seen God move. Remember all the baptisms? We've seen over 20 people baptized this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Give that a round of applause. And so many of you, 2019 was your year for getting connected here at Joy Church and really finding out what community is all about, and not necessarily religion and rule following, but being connected with people, with others, so important. We had people, lots of people come to meet Jesus for the very first time.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
And many more, all of us probably grew, hopefully, in our walk closer to Jesus this year. It was a really good year.
Yeah, it was. So that's where we've been. But where do we go from here? What's next? Where do we go? Or should we say maybe where do we grow from here? Because we always want to focus on that growth. We never want to stop growing or think that, oh, here we are, we've arrived, and everything is good. We don't need to grow anymore. We're just going to be fat and happy and sassy. We're not going to do that.
Again, speak for yourself.
Skinny and happy and sassy. You might remember George Klein. He was here in the fall. He worked with Foursquare Missions. He's the older gentleman, like 78 years old and still like full of life and kind of one of my heroes in life. And he spoke a great word to us as a church about God's plans for us and the things that God has in store for us. And I always remember that one of George's questions, and he's asked me many times, but he asked it that day here when he was here, what would you do if you weren't afraid? Man, that question, every time I hear it, it kind of rocks my world because you think, you know, what would I do if I weren't afraid? What fears are holding me back? And for me, that's a breakthrough that I'm going to be looking for in 2020, is to be able to do the things God has called me to do and just not care and not fear. You know, if he's called me to do it, then why do I need to be afraid, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? But that's not an easy one.
Right, and if you're afraid, then you'll just walk through it anyway.
Right, do things afraid, yeah. George spoke a word to Kathy and me earlier in the year, too, and he gave us a verse from the book of Isaiah that is going to be our theme verse for 2020, and it's kind of been the verse that we've been kind of marinating over for quite a while now, and it's Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He's doing a new thing. And that's really where we're headed for this year, breakthrough. We're going to, our theme for the year is going to be breakthrough. We're going to talk about how God is going to break through in our lives and our hearts and our minds and our families and our finances and all those different ways. We believe that God is going to be moving throughout this year, that as we allow him in and we give him that sledgehammer that he needs to make those breakthroughs in our lives, that he's going to do it. And we're going to see amazing growth in our lives as we go through the year. We're believing that God is going to break down walls. And as you know, since we've been talking about it for quite a while now, we're going to break down some walls here in this building too, physically. We believe that God wants us to enlarge our tent stakes in 2020. There's a scripture for that too. And again, in the book of Isaiah 54:2, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. We believe that God is moving here and he's given us this mandate to do this thing. And again, so that's why we don't have to be anxious about the finances for, because he's going to provide that. But man, think about just the what ifs and the what's to come, that those yet to come, all of that, that goes along with the physical breaking down of the walls that we're going to see.
Breakthrough is such a big idea. And we know that God is breaking down the walls here in 2020. And we're going to see him through that. As we build out our extra 3 kids' classrooms, like, we're going to see God through that. And we're going to see God through a kitchen that is going to be able to be used to feed people in this community. Like, we're going to be able to do more things. We're going to see God through all of that. And it's really a work to further what God has started here, right? It's not to complete it, because we're never going to be complete. As individuals or as a church, as a building, none of that will ever be complete. We know we're never done. But to further what he started here, allowing us to serve his community more. But we're also convinced that God is breaking down the walls of our heart, like Mike talked about. And he's breaking through things, guys, that have been holding us back for years, for our entire lives in some cases. So yes, we're going to see corporate breakthrough as we renovate. But more importantly, we're going to see breakthrough in our hearts and in our minds in 2020.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
I am. Uh-huh.
I hope somebody's excited about that. It's okay to give a little woohoo if you are, because God is a God of breakthrough. I believe that. We see breakthrough throughout Scripture. We see, again, you can look through and you know, how do I believe God's a God of breakthrough? Well, let's read his word and see what he's done in the past. Abraham and Sarah, they kind of needed a breakthrough, right? Abraham was like 100 years old and Sarah was 90, and God says, you're going to have a baby, and I think you need a breakthrough for that. And God provided that breakthrough, right? And the promise of an heir that would be the leader of a new nation, God provided that, even at a time where it was basically impossible, right? God stepped in and he broke through. And then there was Moses. If anybody was in need of a breakthrough, it was Moses, right? He was a stutterer and he had a hard time speaking, but yet God called him to lead his people out of Egypt. And he was a murderer and he just all kinds of things that held him back. And he didn't want the assignment that God had given him. Does that sound familiar to anybody? God gives us an assignment and we're like, no, that's not really what I had in mind, God. But God gave him this assignment that he didn't really want, but God provided the breakthrough for him, right? He gave him the courage to stand up to Pharaoh and to say, you know, like in the movie, let my people go. And he delivered the Israelites from bondage there in Egypt. And then there was Jacob. He wrestled with God, right? He had a wrestling match with God. Think about that. And he was wrestling for his breakthrough. And many of us, I think, in 2020, we're going to be wrestling a little bit. And that's okay. God's okay with us wrestling with him some to figure out what that breakthrough is, to figure out what it is he has in store for us. Sometimes it's not just laid out before us, that there is that little bit of wrestling match of, God, what is it? And part of that might be because we don't really want the assignment that he has for us, and we're going to wrestle with him over that. But we always remember that he has our best in mind, right? And Gideon needed a breakthrough, right, in his identity. And God sent an angel to him and says, you're a mighty warrior, Gideon. And that's what he needed to break through his fears and his doubts. David needed a breakthrough for his to move beyond, you know, his dysfunctional family and how it crept into his leadership. And he got the breakthrough that he needed from the Lord. And then there was Peter. Remember the Apostle Peter? He needed a breakthrough greatly. He had rejected Jesus. What's that word? Denied Jesus. My goodness. He had denied Jesus. Yeah, come on up. And imagine his pain when he had done that. Imagine how he felt on the inside. And then, you know, Scripture tells us that he was done. He was going back to be a fisherman again. You know, Jesus, he thought Jesus was dead and gone, and this whole thing was a farce, and he had denied and he had failed. And he was just going to go back to being a fisherman until Jesus came along and restored him and said, Peter, do you love me? And feed my sheep. He restored Peter's identity and broke through a mindset of failure and defeat. And here we are. Peter kind of started the church. Jesus told him that he would be the rock that the church is built on. So God is in the breakthrough business. We have a history of that in Scripture and probably even in your own lives if you look back and you think of some of the breakthroughs that God has already provided for you.
So what's your 2020 breakthrough? Think about that. Because I'm willing to guess, I'd go out on the limb and say that we all need a breakthrough in something. Maybe it's just in our lives. Maybe it's in our jobs, our finances, our marriages, our spiritual journey. Sometimes we need a breakthrough in that.
Yeah, I think all of us can, if we sit here and just think about it, probably just for a few seconds, we think of some areas that we need to be broken through, that we need to allow God, give him the sledgehammer and say, go for it, God, break through for me. So what does it take, though? What does it take to break through? where does breakthrough start? And I'm a believer that for breakthrough to happen, for breakthrough to start, it needs to happen in my mind first. I need breakthrough thinking. I need to see God for who He is and to know that who He really is and through an old lens of how I've seen Him in the past or how I've perceived Him in the past, but God, who are You really? And not look at Him as that angry God or that punishing God or the God who wants to keep me from fulfilling my dreams, the God who wants to kind of squash me under His thumb. That's not who He is. We create our own ideas about God sometime and what He's supposed to do for us. But we'll be talking about that some next year. We're going to do a series of sermons called I Want to Believe, But... ... And the things that kind of hold us back from letting go and letting God be who He is. And for breakthrough to start, we need to see God in a new way. We need to think of Him as our provider, our protector, our comforter, the one who places dreams in our hearts and our minds and wants to help us fulfill those dreams that He's given us, that He's placed in us. We want to see a God of victory. We want to see a God of faithfulness, a God of grace, and a God of mercy. And so breakthrough starts with breakthrough thinking. And we need to think about God differently in 2020. And that's what we're going to be focusing on throughout our sermons throughout the year. And the things that you'll hear from us is how we can see God for who He really, really is. That's so important.
I was thinking as you were saying that, Mike, and I think I said a few minutes ago about religion, not religion. And a lot of times that's how we see God, is like this God of all these rules. And how are we going to follow all those? God loves us right where we are. Yeah. He does give us things to follow for our best.
Right.
Because they're the best thing for us. But not because He wants to stand there and say, you didn't do that, and you didn't keep up, and you didn't, and you didn't, and you didn't. No, because He says, I have the best for you. I have the very best for you. So here's my way. Follow my way. Do these things, and life will go well for you.
Yeah. It's kind of like what we do with our kids. We give them rules and things they need to do to follow, but not because we're mad at them or we want to keep them back. We give them those because it's best for them, and we want to see them live out their very best. And that's how God looks at us, His kids.
And because we love them.
Yeah.
Right? So for breakthrough, I need to start thinking differently about myself. I need to see myself as God sees me, not as my parents saw me, as my siblings saw me or even see me, as my teachers saw me, as, even a bully saw me. But how does God see me? And start to take on that concept of seeing myself the way He does.
Yeah.
So some of the things that, just kind of a list, I guess, of how does God see us? How does God see me? He sees me as beautifully and wonderfully made, a royal priesthood, a son of the king or a daughter of the king. I like to say princess. don't you ladies at least sit up a little taller when you're I'm a princess. And we are a princess of the king. We're redeemed. We're reconciled. We're forgiven. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
We're forgiven. And so in 2020, I'm going to see myself breaking through doubt, breaking through fear and pain and guilt and shame.
Yeah.
And just imagine, guys, just for a minute, just imagine the freedom that we will all have as we break through those things.
Yeah.
What a cool image in my mind. And what can breakthrough thinking do for us? What's the result of breakthrough thinking? Because we don't want to just do things, right, for the sake of doing it. So what's that result?
Yeah, there's scripture for that too. We find in the book of Isaiah. It's chapter 61 as it starts. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. This is a prophecy of Jesus and what He does, right? Because Jesus spoke these very words in the temple to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. That's who Jesus is, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress. All you princesses will have a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Wow, that's powerful, guys. And that's a prophecy that Jesus gave and spoke over us even now, that's what he's going to do in us. That's really the result of breakthrough thinking. It releases me from unseen bondage, right? He says that he's bringing good news to the poor and proclaim liberty to the captive. So he releases me from that bondage. He repairs the brokenness in me. Again, to bind up the brokenhearted. It rebuilds, breakthrough thinking rebuilds my thinking so that I can begin to think like he thinks about myself and about others as well. Breakthrough thinking restores my vision so that I can see things and see people differently, see myself differently. It renews my spirit so that I can dream big and have energy to do what he's called me to do and what he's equipped me to do. That's what breakthrough thinking can do for us. That's the result of it, when we can really set our minds to it.
I think in that, what you just read in Isaiah 61, that it talks about breakthrough thinking is like an exchange. So think of it this way, like verse 3, exchanging ashes for beauty, exchanging our mourning for joy, our despair for praise, our shame for a double portion, and disgrace for inheritance. So breakthrough starts with that breakthrough thinking. We exchange who we think we are for who God says we are.
Yeah, that's
big
powerful.
Difference. We become what we are destined to become. And I'm just going to read from Psalm 139. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one began.
Amen.
That's all of us.
That's
every
incredible.
Single one of us. We exchange what we do for who he is. And it's just like last week. Remember, you were talking about his breath in us and his hands on us?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the secret, I think. So let his breath in us, his hands on us. And then life will change. When we start thinking breakthrough, when we start this breakthrough thinking, life changes. And breaking the chains that have held us back and tearing down the walls that are keeping us from who God made us to be. This leaves us with questions, though, that we can ask ourselves. So kind of your homework assignment for this week, if you take notes, write some of these down. What do I need to do for breakthrough? What thinking do I need to change? What thinking about God do I need to change for breakthrough? How do I think about God? How do I think about how God looks at me? How do I need breakthrough there in that thinking? God, how do you look at me and how do you see me and how is that different from what I see in myself? What changes do I need in those ways of thinking? How do I need to change my thinking, God, about you and about myself? Maybe you need to accept the fact that God is merciful and that he is good and to let go of some of those old perceptions you had of God, that he's not out to get you, that he's way more interested in who you are than what you do. He's way more interested in who we are than what we do. And his grace is big enough to cover every one of us. Even you, even me, his grace is big enough to cover us.
That's a good word. Maybe we need to accept God's thoughts about us, to remind ourselves daily who he says we are. Maybe we need to forgive those who might try to convince us that we're less than God says we are. There are people in our lives that do that. And maybe we need to take on the posture of forgiving them. Maybe we need to see ourselves as that royal priesthood. Imagine, and I'm going to use princess. Sorry, guys, you pick your word. But imagine if we woke up in the morning and that very first thing we thought was, It's a new day, and I'm a princess. Mm. I'm a princess today. And not in that, you know, crazy princess, everybody needs to serve me and wait on me and, you know, all that that we see in the movies kind of thing, or the Godzilla bride or whatever kind of thing, but just I'm the daughter of the king. I'm the son of the king. Mm. And not just tomorrow, but then the next day. Can you imagine how much straighter we'd walk? Can you imagine the different conversations that we would have with people if we started believing that about ourselves? And no one is excluded, guys. There's not one person in this room that is excluded from that. You are the daughter or the son of the king, the most high king.
It's hard to wake up grouchy if you do that, huh?
Yeah. Maybe we need to see ourselves like Gideon, like God told Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. Imagine our conversations if we were thinking about that. And as redeemed and reconciled, as one who's covered by grace, always. His grace never runs out. That's who we are. That's who we are. And I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to all of you. But how cool the thought is in my mind of if we could just grasp that. And even if we can't grasp it, we just fake it till we make it, right? Like we just say, I know that's the truth.
Right.
I might not quite believe it in my heart or my head.
Yet.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah. So we're challenging you to break through thinking in 2020. So we should probably kind of share ours and be a little bit vulnerable here. So I'll let Kathy do that.
Isn't he awesome? Mine is really starting to believe that God is way more interested in who I am than what I do. I am naturally just a worker, and it's really hard to separate those and to not feel like you have to do, you have to do, you have to do, and to be able to just be and know that God loves me for who I am.
Yeah. Why is that so hard for us to do? I think for all of us. I think a lot of it is cultural because I think our culture would tell us that to really be important, we really need to be busy. You have to be busy all the time. You know, you ask somebody how they're doing. Oh, I'm great. I'm just busy. Busy season. Busy this. And God's not really that interested in that. I mean, he gives us things that he wants us to do, but he also just wants us to be who he's made us to be. And that's a hard one for all of us. For me, I guess I'll share mine too. And I kind of shared before, it's dealing with fear and knowing that, you know, that God tells me over and over in his word, fear not, fear not. He's the some of the most difficult things that he gave some of the characters in the Bible to do. He also sent an angel or sent someone along to say, don't be afraid, don't be anxious. Jesus himself said, be anxious for nothing. And so that's one of the things that I'm going to work on, and to be more willing to speak up and to be the leader that's not afraid to step up and to show or to be who God wants me to be, and to just do it without fear and know that, you know, some people might like it and some might not, but that's what God wants me to do. And so I'm going to step up and do that kind of a thing. So pray for me.
That's good. And like we said before, sometimes you have to just do it afraid.
Yeah.
Sometimes the fear doesn't just leave.
And I think one of the things to remember is that, you know, my life will not change until I change the way I think. And it's got to start there. It's got to start with how I think about God and about myself. And then it's going to overflow into to how I think about you and how I think about others. And but it's got to start with changing the way I think.
And I think for, you know, and this, it doesn't come as a surprise, but for Joy Church, one of the physical aspects of breakthrough is in the renovations of our building that we've been talking about. We've been talking all month about this pledge campaign, and so many of you have been on board. I want to just give you some numbers because this is cool. I'm going to stand up just to stretch my legs in that little chair. So we have received just about 20, I think it's exactly 20 pledge cards totaling almost $40,000. Yeah, yeah, give that a hand. And right now, we have $25,391 in our building fund of cash on hand. That does include $6,000 that's already been received from those pledges. So if you take the remaining pledges and the amount of cash on hand, that is about $59,000 towards
that's
renovating
incredible.
This building.
Yeah.
Yes, you need a bigger clap than that, guys.
Yeah.
Like, let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you to all of you
Amen.
For being on board. We are
Amen.
Going to get this done. We are certainly going to get this done. We're so close.
Yeah, we're getting close. And one of the things that I think we appreciate it now, but we're really going to appreciate it this time next year, is that we're not going to be paying a loan payment every month. You know, it's going to be paid for. It's going to be done. And trust me, we'll be happy about that. You better believe we'll be happy about that, right? So as we finish up today, Kathy and I, we have the pledge cards that we've received so far here in this envelope, and we want to pray over them. If you turn yours in today, I don't have it in the envelope, but we'll pray over it as well and include that in our prayers. Or even if you're still praying and considering what God would have you to do, we'll pray over that too and know that, again, we don't need to be anxious about it. But we're going to celebrate the victory that God is providing, the victory that He is providing, that we trust Him for. So we want to pray over that and to just remind you of our vision to impact our communities with the Father's love and to raise up a body of believers committed in relationship to Jesus and one another. That's what we want to do. That's what God has put in our hearts, in our DNA, and kind of our just who we are as a church. That's not just a thing for Kathy and me, but for all of us to really latch on to that vision and know that we want to raise up a body of believers. That means make disciples. That means those yet to come. And remember, you were once those yet to come. So was I. So was Kathy. We were those yet to come. And like Kathy said this morning, Kathy Kelly, that somebody gave that influenced us as we were still those yet to come. So let's take a moment and let's pray over these pledge cards. And again, if yours isn't in here yet, if you're holding it, that's fine. We're going to pray over that too. God knows, and He's going to cover that. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for what You've done. We thank You, Lord, for what we've seen You do. We thank You, God, that we know that You're faithful. Lord, and that as people have made pledges to give to You, to build Your house here, Lord, that we would see great fruit. We're believing for that. We're expecting that, God. We have great expectations of the fruit that's going to be born by the fact that we are making a way for those far from You to come to know You, Father, a way for families to come and get connected, a way for those who are hungry to come and be connected, Lord. Maybe they just think they're coming to get something in their belly, Lord, but we know that You're going to feed their spirit, Lord, as they're here. So, God, we pray a blessing over these funds. We pray a blessing over those who are giving. We pray, Father, that You would stretch these, Father, to be even greater than we could ever ask or imagine the things that You're going to do at Joy Church in 2020. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts, or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you and there's nothing you can do about it.